And there's no wonder that our country is attacked on every side and even from within. There is no wonder that the devil rages in the hearts of men who seek to destroy this republic. For he knows that this is the only place on God's earth where men can retain their freedom and yet be able to build up the kingdom of God according to the laws and the constitutions of this land. It is marvelous when you begin to think of it. And you'll watch him at work in the course of time and be amazed, very much amazed, at his great glory. Let me tell you something else. In 1928, 53 nations met at Locarno. They signed the Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact. This pact was significant, because the first article said that the high contracting parties hereby renounce war as an instrument for the settlement of international disputes. 53 nations included the United States. 7 years later, a certain Italian named Mussolini decided that he needed more room in which his people could live, and remembered that in 1898 at Adowa on the Gulf of the Red Sea, the Italians had been defeated by the Ethiopians and driven into the sea. Here was his excuse. He had to avenge Adowa. And so, in 1935, 7 years after the Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact was signed, he sailed his armada through the Suez Canal and invaded Ethiopia. He burned, he blistered, he strangled, he killed those people with poison gas. And there was a gentleman in the Mediterranean Sea, 103 British ships of the line, and Britain was committed to resist aggression. They could have blown Mussolini's ships into kingdom come. And, by the way, Mussolini had also the blessing of the Holy Father in this adventure. And then in 1935, when it became an accomplished fact that Italy had invaded Ethiopia, I remember the newspapers when the son-in-law of Mussolini, Count Ciano, came back from a bombing raid and said how beautiful it was to see the village blown up, expand like a flower, the most wonderful and beautiful sight he had ever seen. It was in those days that Lord Halifax arose in the British House of Commons. And this is a matter of record, it's in Hansard. And he said, gentlemen, the whole of Ethiopia is not worth one drop of British blood, nor 1 pound of British treasure. That's how they kept their agreements, do you see? And in that day, heaven took note of the perfidy of the British government that failed to live up to its agreement. And God ordained that they should pay for it, and they did. 7 years later, in 1942, Ethiopia was the first country to be liberated from the Axis powers by British blood and by British treasure. We had come to the full circle, and the Lord had ordained through the suffering of the British people that after all, they should live to their agreements. And so it is all through the course of time, illustration after illustration I could bring to you, where the Sermon on the Mount has governed and judged the nations of the earth. This advice or counsel which Christ gave to his apostles, known as the Sermon on the Mount, part of which was read in your hearing tonight, is not a piece of esoteric knowledge which Jesus gave just to his own fold. These are the principles of life. Nations that live by those principles succeed, preserved, blessed and strengthened. And nations that fail to live by those principles are destroyed by them. For God has ordained that the only strength that would endure or can endure is the strength that is devoted to the weakness of others. As the Doctrine and Covenants has said, yea, I the Lord ruleth in the heavens above and among the armies of the earth. Then there was that little paranoid Hitler. In 1914, in the forest of Compiègne in France, There they had preserved the railroad car in which the Germans had signed the treaty or the armistice from the First World War on November the 11th, 1918. And Hitler said, "I will dictate the peace of Europe from London in August." He had conquered France, had the British armies pinioned against the sea, and it looked for all the world as if his predictions would transpire. Great Britain had 200 Matilda tanks, each of which had a gun of a 2-inch bore. When Dunkirk was over, she had less than 2,000 fighter planes. But you know the story from there on, how it was. How by the grace of God, 300,000 of those 330,000 men were taken off the beaches. Not by the Navy, but by sailboats, by rowboats, by all manners of vessels, fishing vessels, trawlers, tubs, and everything else. And this was reckoned to be one of the most amazing miracles that ever transpired in the history of warfare. And I believe I told you that Churchill came to the microphone that day and said, "As the will of God is in heaven, so let him do to us." And how it was that the good spirit spoke to me and said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then, not before then, shall the end come." And then followed that with this, "How can the gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world for a witness, unless and until there is a visible kingdom to which witness can be borne? I shall not permit the forces of destruction so far to engulf the world as to make impossible the building of my Zion." There you have it. I have faith in God, and I believe that he is superintending the course of time. And although in the near future we may see harrowing scenes of distress and suffering, and we may get brought to our knees in sorrow petitioning him for an intervention, yet I am sure that there will be left among us sufficient men of good will that will take up the story and continue the work of the redemption of Zion. In 1920, Brother Albert Smith spoke to the assembled priesthood at General Conference. It has been printed in the Herald about that time and has been reprinted since. And one of the things that he told the men at that time was this, and I will try to repeat it for you. Quote, "I have many forces at work in the world to bring to pass my purpose that you know not of," unquote. And I believe this with all my heart. It is true that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. Not a church. It is the church. Not another religious organization with social overtones. It is Church of the elect of the kingdom of God restored in these last days, and its roots are in heaven, not on earth. And while we've seen tonight in a brief panoramic glimpse the soil being prepared for the reception of the seed of the kingdom, let us continue to pray that our eyes may be opened, that we may see the wondrous things out of God's law. This, I believe, is not a necessity, and a prelude to the endowment of the Spirit. Doesn't come easy, gentlemen. Nothing comes easy that is worthwhile. But as we apply our minds and our hearts, seeking in prayer and in fasting for the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, working in the course of time, we shall be renewed, strengthened, uplifted, and building up in our faith, and enabled thereby to go forward and strengthen those that are around us. For the days will surely come when this church is going to need a revelation of the nature of priesthood if it is to survive.